Blog Talk Radio.
I was eating junk. I had just had two children back to back.
I used to not be able to get on the ground.
I never, ever daily exercise.
Before, if I'd get down, I'd need a chair or something to help me get back up.
I was 84 pounds heavier at one time.
I was always a big dude, but I couldn't move around.
That all changed when they met Diamond Dallas Page.
Started doing yoga, man. I started doing a thing called DDP yoga. It's not your mama's yoga.
WCW heavyweight champion, known for his signature move, the Diamond Cutter.
Diamond Cutter!
Took what he learned recovering from an injury and years in the ring and created DDP yoga.
Working out combined with the eating habits, it was a huge difference. I felt so much better.
A lot of fun for me because I never used to be able to be active. Now I'm on the floor, I'm rolling around. It's pretty cool. More than importantly, I just want to be alive. I'm down about 110 pounds.
DDP yoga can work for anyone.
Bang!
DDP.
DDP.
Radio.
So high five.
Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to a brand new episode of DDP Radio Live right here at ddpradio.com. Per usual, my name is Michael Mullins here, broadcasting live from the DDP Radio Megaplex in beautiful Raleigh, North Carolina. And as always, I get the red carpet treatment, the white glove treatment. I get escorted up by my three butlers, three security guards, and three beautiful-looking models to get up to the top floor, the tipping top floor of the tallest part of all of Raleigh, North Carolina. And then I open up my suite where the golden radio tower that sits upon the roof glimmers in the moonlight. And I climb that tower one by one by one by one till I get to the top and I look to the great white north. And in the dark skies of the planet Earth, I see a light, a beaming red light coming out of the hut on top of the mountain, on top of the mountain, on top of Mount Ontario. And in that hut is Crystal Stewart coming up with quotes, booking guests, and just being generally amazing. Our eyes connect, the bolt of lightning connects, and boom, DDP Radio, off to the world. How are you, my friend?
I come from the land of sniffles and sneezes, but, I mean, other than that, we're good.
Is that the new Men at Work song? I come from the land of sniffles.
Well,
I'm excited to be here with you tonight. I'm excited to be doing DDP Radio tonight with y'all. And I haven't asked you specifically, but I'm knowing your reputation, I'm pretty sure that you've come prepared with a great guest to talk to tonight. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it's somebody we've talked to before, and those are always so much fun, getting an update on DDPY radio guests from the past and see where they're at. And it's always fascinating to see someone's journey down the line. So, Crystal, without any further ado, I'm going to have you introduce our Warrior of the Week tonight.
Sure. So this week's Warrior of the Week, Mike and I welcome back previous warrior in David Becker. One of the best moments is when we welcome people back to the show and we get to see how they are doing. Tonight is certainly one of those moments. Some say it gets easier as you forge on with a wellness journey or a wellness habit. I don't think it gets easier. You just get to know yourself a bit more. Please welcome back to the show this week, this week's returning Warrior of the Week. Sorry, I got marbles. David Becker.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, David.
How you doing, man?
Good.
Oh, thank you for coming back and chatting with us.
No problem.
So, if anyone who wants to listen to David's full story and want to check out the archives, the DDP Radio archives, you can get his entire story from the first part there. But for those just tuning in for the first time, can you give us a little Cliff Notes version of who you are, where you came from, and you know, what brought you into this world and found you doing DDPY?
Let's see here. My name's David Becker. I've been doing DDPY now for almost 8 years. I'm in between, on my seventh year now. I started back in November of 2017. And I did, like, the beginner program, and then from there I've been doing DDP every day. Get up in the morning, I do my DDP yoga, and then I head on out the door to either go to work or do other stuff.
Wow.
So 7-8 years around the time you've been doing it, you know, had that streak going. You know, when we had you on the first time, you know, you talked about how you got there, you know, how you landed, you know, doing GDPY, where you came from, all that stuff. But since that point, what's changed for you? What have you been doing? Have you been, you still kicking ass doing this? Have you been having any difficulties? Give us some updates since the last time we talked to you.
I started doing, like, some of the power cuff workouts. Those are interesting. But I don't have all the equipment for that. I have some weights, but that's about it. I've been, been dieting. My health has changed a little bit because my diabetes came back with a vengeance. So now I'm back on insulin again. But I exercise every day and, try to change my diet, but sometimes even changing your diet doesn't help you. So, I mean, they got me on, I'm on a couple different kinds of insulin medications. So, and then found out recently that there's protein coming out of my kidneys. I don't know how that happened, but they got me on yet another medicine. So, but trying to regulate everything. I mean, my sugar's back down, so at least everything's working again.
Well, this is the whole, long haul thing. You know, you're going to be ups and downs. It's just, that's what life is. But did you find yourself, struggling with diet? Is it something that your diabetes came back? You slipped a little bit, or is it something that just, happened?
In the middle of December, I worked for the same company but for a different team, and the team that I was with decided they had a teams meeting with us, and they decided that they said at the beginning of the year there was 13 of us on the call. At the beginning of the year, we'll no longer be working for this team. So I'm like, great. So, depression set in a little bit. I got pissed off. I was like, I'm 61 years old. Where the hell am I going to find another job? But with this company here, another team picked me up. So I didn't lose out on any of that. But, the whole part of not knowing it, took me into a little bit of a hole for New Year's. New Year's, I usually stay up and watch the ball drop. It's like, for the first time in years, my wife even said, I had never known you to go to bed before the ball dropped. So she knew there was something bothering me. So, but that's all resituated now. So trying to get back on track.
Depression will definitely kick your knees out from under you. And then, you realize that you feel good when you start working out, and you feel good when, the depression, and, you feel good being active,
right.
But it's some reason there's some disconnect there that you just can't get yourself going. And, it's a hard thing to navigate with, but I'm glad to hear you're on the other side of it, feeling better and feeling more optimistic. That's it's a hell of a process, but it's a worthwhile process to fall through with.
Oh yeah. Cause I just kept getting up every morning and just doing my workouts and then, start my day, cause every job has its ups and downs. So I just had to adjust, and I'm trying to get used to it. Still not quite there yet. So there's a few things that I don't like about it, but like my wife said, you're working. That's all you need to worry about. So
Yeah, so there is a saying I have downstairs in the dungeon, and it says, it's in my workout room, and all it says is be liquid. That's, you know, all you can be is be liquid. You'll just fit into every situation or, you know, any circumstance that comes your way, just be willing to flow into a different one. And it seems you're doing well.
Yep. So, but yeah, then we have our band of guys that I talk to, you know, it's the finger crew. It's like we're on the Tiger Battalion. And it's like, it's myself, Scott French, Rob Ramsey, Bruce Nelson, Jake Warner. There's a bunch of us there. So joke around on there. It's like, but we, you know, cause they've reached out to me and asked me if I needed help with anything, you know. I was like, I'm doing fine right now, you know, but if I do, I'll let you know. But it's good that we have that kind of support now. Plus now with the 55 and older community, I've been on there a bunch of times because you figure I work out every day, and at 61 years old, you know, when I was 31 years old, I didn't do squat. So the big difference when you know, you're trying to get yourself better than what you were.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, yep. You know, you obviously, you know, you're hooked up with this group of guys that was helping you out, and, you know, you guys were kind of just being each other's accountability partner. And, you know, I'm sure you've been that for a lot of people, too. So it's nice that when, you know, you're feeling a little bit, like, run down, that your guys get your back, too. Because it's all going to happen to all one of us eventually. We're all going to be the person that needs the handout, you know, the motivation eventually. So that's really cool that you guys have found some people that you really trust and can look to for motivation.
Yeah, because, I mean, Jake Order and I were on, he messaged me one day, and we were going back and forth. He asked me what I do, and, you know, I told him, you know, I get up every morning and I do my DDPY, but then for work I do a lot of walking. So it's like I get 10 to 12,000 steps in a day, plus, you know, food-wise. I told him my diet's not the greatest of diets, but, you know, I eat fruits and vegetables daily, fresh fruits and vegetables. So, and then, you know, try to have a somewhat sensible dinner, but sometimes it don't happen. But that's the way it is.
So do you find yourself, you know, looking forward to any kind of, you know, immediate goals or some kind of, you know, challenge that you want to do, or are you just trying to do what you can right now to keep active and keep on it and doing the best you can?
Yeah, I'm doing the best I can right now, but I'd like to get into the power cuff workouts a little bit more. But like I said, it's like I'm watching them do it. It's like they have the machines and stuff like that, and I don't have that stuff because there's no room in my house for it. So, but, you know, I have, like I said, I have the weights. I've done it without, you know, when they were sitting on a bench, I was sitting on a chair. Same difference because you're doing the same exercise as they are. You're just not on a bench. But, so I'm looking into getting one of those, but like the big gym equipment, there's no place to put it.
Yeah, no, I understand that too, because, well, sometimes even finding room for a yoga mat is pushing it.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, when we go on vacation, I schlep all that stuff with me. It's like I had my yoga mat, I had the heart monitor, I had the bear blocks, you know, different stuff I brought with me. So this way, because I told my wife, I was like, I'm still doing my exercise. I don't care if I'm on vacation. I was like, my body don't go on vacation. It's still there.
Right. Yep, exactly. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how much has your life changed from where you were, say, in your 30s to now? How much has everything changed for you?
No, it's changed in abundance, because you figure when I was in my 30s, I weighed like 260, 270.
And now?
And now I weigh 165.
Wow, great job.
Oh, yeah,
that's
incredible.
Like, because back then, well, in my later 30s, that's when I started took up karate. That's how I met my wife. So it's like we were, you know, I was taking karate, and I was doing that every day, except Sundays they were closed. So it's like, but it's like I did that. I took myself from 270 down to 200, but then life happened. We got married, and got a house, and we had kids. So it's like stuff changed. It's like I couldn't go to karate all the time because I had to be home, you know, with the kids and doing housework,
yep,
stuff like that. So, but I mean, and when I was in my 30s, I wasn't attached. So, but everything changes when you have you get married and have a family.
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah,
that's for sure. Now, so, you know, obviously your hours change, or you're in a different team, I assume. Did that affect the way you work out, or, you know, did your job situation changing affect the way you were able to diet or exercise, or is it something you kind of managed to kind of stay
clean
with?
Basically, I start work about the same time. So it's like I get up, like on the weekdays, on days that I'm working, I get up at 4. I work out, then have breakfast, take my shower, and then I go to work. Usually I'm out the door by 7 o'clock. So, and then, you know, like I said, at my job, I walk around the different stores that I'm in. So it's like that's how I get my steps in. I always wear my Fitbit. So I also have a smartwatch. So just to keep tabs on me, make sure I'm doing okay. You know, I drink water daily. You know, I drink 64 ounces of water daily. I have my coffee in the morning. You know, I mean, like I said, I eat fresh fruit and fresh vegetables daily. Then I have an endocrinologist now, a diabetes doctor, and she has me. She said you shouldn't just eat the vegetables by themselves. You need to have a protein with them. So, okay, so I implemented that into my lunch, and now everything seems to be getting better. But there's always a hiccup, so.
Absolutely.
And then go ahead.
Oh, sorry, man. Well, go ahead. I apologize.
Yeah. So. As of now, I'm 12 years cancer-free.
Wow.
Because I had the prostate cancer back in 2012, and then I had to go through the radiation after that. So that was 12 years ago. So
wow.
I go to my urologist yearly, so.
I mean, that's something too, that, like, you know, being healthy and stuff. You've always got that in the back of your mind too. You know, staying healthy is such a huge part of your existence from now on. Keeping up on that, making sure things are right in that area, and going back for appointments, and you know, you've been one of those guys who's realized what can happen when your health takes a turn. So I'm sure that's motivation to keep staying as on top of it as possible.
Oh, yeah. And then, because you figure, I don't, I mean, with with prostate cancer. It was like I tell my friends, I was like, as soon as you hit 40 to 45, I was like, you need to get your PSA levels checked. Because they caught mine. It was, like I said before, it was stage 3 when they found it. It was stage 4 when they removed it.
Crazy.
Yep.
So, I mean, stage 3 cancer, that's a pretty serious diagnosis right there. Now, getting that diagnosis and getting, you know, cleared of it, like, I'm sure that gives you a pretty good, scare enough to put some motivation behind it. Like, what is your mindset after cancer, having gone through that, and compared to what it was beforehand?
No, I go with the mindset, I beat cancer, I can beat anything. So,
I mean, that's a pretty good opponent that you knocked out.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Because I've had friends that have had different problems, but not cancer, but it's like, and it just changes your mind a lot, because it's like you're fixated on, you know, I have cancer, oh my God, stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean for the 2 months before my surgery, it's like, you know, I had to do this test and that test, bone scans, CAT scans, because they wanted to check everything. They had to do blood work, stuff like that. So, but
I mean, I am grateful for hospitals, but I hate going to them. I hate, I hate seeing the inside of a hospital. Because I know I'm there, and, you know, I just don't want to hear anything. I'm sure it's the same thing. And, I mean, you know, it's hard to put your faith in someone that you don't know, and they just have a certificate on their wall. You're putting your life in their line. And, yeah, I don't know. I have a hard time with hospitals.
Yeah, but... like I said, I mean, when I was there, they took good care of me when I was at the hospital. I was only in the hospital for a day. I mean, did the surgery. They did the surgery because they did the robotic surgery. And I looked that up. I mean, we checked it out online once they told me what kind of surgery they were doing. It's like you look at the surgery, and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
So...
those guys are very skilled. The certificate on their wall actually means something, unlike the certificate on my wall, which doesn't mean anything. They went through a lot of school to get that done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they know what they're doing, and I can't even, you know, you see some of these medical shows, and I'm like, I can't even understand the amount of skill it would take for me to be confident in somebody's brain. Like it's wild to see what medicine can do nowadays. And, you know, think about where it came from just a few decades ago, how much a lot of times, if it was the 70s, if you had that same surgery, probably wasn't going to be successful.
Yeah, because when I had the robotic surgery, I was only out of work for like 3 to 4 weeks. And they said if I would have had the other surgery, I would have been out for 2 to 3 months.
Months.
So...
that's crazy.
Oh yeah. But
wow.
You know,
I had my family behind me.
Yeah.
No, I apologize. We got a horrible delay on my end. I didn't mean to cut you off, Russ.
That's fine.
So, you know, how much of a game changer has it been? You know, you talked about having your family behind you. You know, obviously, there's a lot of people who care about you.
When I was going through the radiation, I did a countdown on Facebook, and I had my friends follow me. I counted down from day 1 to day 38. It's like I had them counting down, and then I'll post it. I usually post it on June 4th, it was the last day of my radiation where I rang the bell. And ringing that bell is the best feeling in the world. To know that you're done radiation, you don't have to deal with that anymore.
Oh, I can imagine. My uncle just finished, you know, radiation a couple months ago, and he's one of those guys that's kind of very dry, very non-sentimental, but he's like snarky and funny. And he got surprisingly emotional when he rang the bell. He said something in it hit me that, like, how monumental that was. And I found that to be pretty profound coming from a guy that doesn't usually get like that.
Oh, yeah. That was, like I said, that was, I mean, we've had cousins that had breast cancer and had to go through chemo and radiation. And, you know, they got to ring the bell, too. And then we sit there and we talk about it. It's like, isn't that the greatest feeling in the world, knowing that you finished that stuff and don't have to do it no more?
I don't know if we have that here.
Usually any cancer place usually has the bill.
Really?
For the radiation?
I'll have to look into it. I've seen it on TV. I thought it was a TV thing, but I didn't realize that it was a real life thing.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, like I said, you ring that bell and it's the greatest feeling in the world. It's
I'd
like
imagine.
You know you accomplished, you don't have to do that crap no more. I was working, so it's like I went and did my job and then had to get done. I had to be there at a certain time, so it's like I got done work, did what I had to do, and then made it to radiation. Radiation only takes like 15 minutes, so it's like,
holy cow,
like,
really?
The only bad part about that was you had to drink 24 ounces of water and you had to hold it in. Because when they're scanning you, they want your bladder full.
Right.
Sometimes that wasn't that easy because, like, I got to go. Because they know as soon as you're done getting radiated, it's like, the bathroom's over here. Thank you.
Well, when you get that kind of, you know, diagnosis, you know, from what I've understood from people that have had it, like, you realize that you are more courageous than you even could have imagined. There's a level that you can access that you didn't even know you had, a will to live, if you will. And obviously you had said that has kind of served you in other parts of your life too. You're like, well, this is the worst thing that could, you know, I've beat the worst thing. So everything else is kind of gravy. Is that, is that something that kind of dictates your life going forward?
Oh yeah. 'Cause you figure, I mean, when I was done the next morning when I woke up from, you know, the next morning when I got up, as soon as the nurse came in, I was like, get me out of this bed. I didn't want to lay in because some people just lay in bed all day. I was like, get me out of bed and get this stupid, because I had a catheter on me, but then they had the one that you walk with, so they had to put that on. So the sorry part about that is I had to wear the catheter during Christmas. So it's like, but the day after Christmas is when they pulled it out. Trust me, that's not a pleasurable thing when they pull the catheter out.
Yeah, it's not on my bucket list.
Yeah. I mean, that's the last thing you want on your bucket list.
So, you know, cancer, unfortunately, is something that touches a lot of us. Like, a lot of people, I mean, I was talking to my mom last week, and she was talking about all of her friends that she lost from cancer, and it's unbelievable. So, well, there's probably somebody who's going to listen to this that knows somebody or is going to go through it themselves, and getting that kind of news, is there any kind of wisdom you can impart on somebody who's about to go through a really, you know, miserable, hard run with that? And what did you learn going forward?
You want them to know, you know, that you can get through it, because, I mean, I got through it, so. It's hard. It's going to be hard. I posted on the day I found out I had cancer. I posted on Facebook. I need my friends to be a rock for my family, because you know I don't know how this is going to turn out. So you know we went. You know my friends. I mean my one friend called me as soon as he saw it on Facebook. He's like, "Why didn't you call me?" I was like, "Hello, I'm in the middle of being disgusted." So.
Right.
But I mean. Yeah. But my friends stuck behind me. I mean, like I said, when I did the radiation thing, I had people cheering me on that I never even met. They're married to kids that I grew up with. It's like their wives were cheering me on. I was like, okay, thank you. But, you know, as you never know who's going to cheer you on. I mean, you're your best cheerleader, but, you know, you always have family and friends to back you up.
I mean, it's incredibly hard to stay even remotely positive through something like that. So how did you face that with even a sliver of positivity? That's got to be so difficult.
Oh yeah, because you figure, you know, I'm like, okay, I got to go here, I got to go here,
right?
As I said, all the different doctor's appointments I had to go to and all the different tests they had to take, and it's like, and then once they finally had the surgery, it's like, then you have to go through the process of rehabbing. And it's like, because my whole side, because you figure they had a robotic hand in me. And it's like, and my wife took a picture because my whole side was black and blue. And she called up the doctor. She was worried about it. And the doctor's like, well, hello. I was like, we were in there ripping out his prostate,
right.
Is like, and he's like, they were pushing and pulling, so of course you're going to be bruised. But that all cleared up after like a month or so. So
you think about that experience since then also, and you know, what if you weren't here for all of this? What if you never got a chance to get on the other side of that, and all the people that would miss you and all the things you'd miss? It's a pretty powerful thing to go through, and
oh, yeah.
You know, you went through that.
Yep, because I've had friends that have lost family from different kinds of cancers. Like, because my one friend, her mom had it, and then she beat it, but then it came back with a vengeance. That's the only thing I worry about is it deciding to come back. But I go to the urologist every year, and they check my PSA levels. Right now, my PSA levels at zero, which means I don't have a prostate, which is a good thing. But they said if those numbers ever go up, that means that the cancer came back.
Wow.
And I mean, obviously, there's cancer can affect anyone too, but there's an added motivation to stay healthy too, because you know you got to be healthy enough to fight.
Yeah.
You got to be healthy enough to battle the radiation.
Yep.
And all the appointments. Like that'll take a hell of a lot out of you. And you know you found yourself in a little bit of a funk, and now you're here again. You got that will to fight back. So you know we never want that to happen again. But if anything ever did happen, you're going to be in the best possible mindset and physical space to fight it. And that's the ultimate goal, I assume.
Right. Yeah. So yeah. So, and I mean, I get the same support with DDPY now. It's like you get people on there. I post my workouts every day. I don't post them to brag. I just post them to say, I did this at 61 years old, and I've been doing it for 6.5 years, because I've had discussions with people. It's like Jake Order, he messaged me, and we were going back and forth, and I was telling him what I do and different stuff, and, you know, we're going back and forth talking. It's like, you know, I was like, you just got to do what you can do for you. I mean, everybody's different. I mean,
yeah.
I just keep plugging away. It's like,
oh. So you started doing this at 55. You started around DDPY. You know, by the time we're 55, I'm in my mid-40s. You know, you're pretty damn set in your ways. Like, it's really hard to and reinvent yourself in life at 55 years
old.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
That, I mean, that's a huge
thing.
I didn't know
what I was getting into because I saw Arthur's video. And that's what got me started. Oh. Like I saw him, it's like, damn. I was like, because he was out of shape and overweight and was walking with the crutches and stuff. And it's like, then you see him, he's running distances and. He's running like a maniac. He's standing on his head. So it's like, that was amazing to me. It's like, and then I saw a couple of those different videos. I saw Stacy Morris's video. I saw Jared's video where he weighed 600 and something pounds. Cause he was in the fat burner video or the fat burner workouts. So I was amazed at that. It's like, well, if he can do it, maybe I can. So. But
and
just
you
keep plugging away. Yeah, because you keep plugging away, and you're like looking. It's like every Thursday I do stand up because Dal says you want to keep stand up into your workouts as much as possible. So I do it once a week. It's like I'll do stand up and then I'll do red hot core. Just try to keep balance and stuff like that. But I've done several different workouts. I mean, every time a new workout comes up, as long as it's between 30 and 40 minutes, I'm good. I don't want to go too far over because I don't want to cut into my time going to work. But on the weekends, sometimes I'll do a longer one.
Great for you, man. And you said you pretty much do it on every day, you said?
Yep, every morning.
Wow. Well, it's such a good habit to get into, too, because, you know, you've got this routine down. And
yeah.
You accomplished all of this in 6 years. And, you know, you said you're 61. So where's David Becker in your dream situation? Where are you at 70 years old? You know, that's a lot of time where people would retire or start settling down. Where do you want to see yourself?
I'm hoping to be retired by then, but, you know, the government keeps changing stuff. So it's like right now 67 is the retirement age, but I'll be 62. I had a friend told me that you can look into it, but we'll see. But, I mean, as long as I can still work, I'm fine. But it's like when you start because some days I come home and I'm, like, exhausted from work and getting up early in the morning. So I'll crash on the couch watching TV. So, but that's that's normal.
Well, my retirement plan is I want to find an old lady who's a billionaire. On her way out, and she could be the next Mrs. Mullins.
Somebody won the Mega Millions last night over this way in Jersey somewhere. So you got to go find that
Holy
person.
Holy cow!
Yeah, tell them the
call. $1.3 billion.
Wow!
Like billion
with a B.
Oh my lord! Holy
just
cow!
Tell me
I stopped playing that because I got tired. It's like you'd be like when it gets up there high, it's like, okay, let's put $20 in. Let's put another $20 in. It's like then you weren't hitting any numbers. It was like I couldn't even get a damn free ticket. So I was like, I stopped doing it.
Well, just tell me where they live, and I'll just stand behind their car and just get bumped and fall on the ground. I can't feel my legs.
Oh, my God, you ran over my foot.
Oh.
12 million.
Just go away. Oh,
that's crazy.
That's funny. But I'm really happy to hear you're doing well, man. And I know you hit the little speed bump a little while ago, and you know it's depression, something that just is going to eventually come for all of us at some point, and it's all about how we navigate it. And you had the great idea about it. You recognized what was happening. You recognized that you were depressed about it, and you worked your way through it, came out the other end, and you seem to be really back on your feet. And it's a great lesson to learn for people in the long term.
Oh, yeah. Because even with, like I said, with the 55 and older community, she's posting stuff every day. And it's like, it's interesting, all the different stuff.
Tell us real quick about the 55-year-old community. There's a lot of Facebook groups that people are a part of, and it's, a lot of specialized people who get together and, team up. Like, what is like that for the community? How big is the 55-plus community, and how many people are just doing stuff over there?
Hold on. I'm looking for it now. I know we're over 1,000 people now. I think it's more than that now. I had it up here a minute ago.
That's crazy. But, I mean, that's such a great thing, too, because people, people who this program is so crucial for people once they start getting 45, 50, 55, because it's literally holding back the hands of time. DEP always says that all the time. And it's such a crucial thing for people to do, and it's not as bad on the joints. And I tell anyone who's over 50, this is going to be a lifesaver for you.
Yeah.
Yep. But.
So I love seeing that we have such a great group of people. When we first started, there wasn't 1,000 people who did DDPY, and now it's 1,000
right.
people in that community. Yeah. And it's pretty inspiring.
Yeah, according to our page here, there's 1,600 people. So it's 1,600 people.
That's
and
great.
Pam's
amazing.
Pam's on there every day. She's always posting something. Then she posts stuff with, like, me being on there or Scott being on there, Rob, all the different, We've been doing this for a while now, so I looked on Facebook today. Scott's doing pretty good. He's down 40 pounds. Scott French.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Yep.
I think the groups are really important because they show that, right, and Mike, you and I have talked about this several times, that there's some people that only post when things go good or things are working well. I love the transparency of some groups because you know what? Things don't always go well as planned or, stuff happens. But it's nice to know that we can all stay accountable to ourselves.
Right.
Yeah.
Doing DDPY, sometimes you'll try to do a move and you don't do it right and you hurt yourself. So,
yep.
But I've done that a few times.
Me too.
You sprain your wrist or right now I did something to my rotator cuff, but it's healing. But what I did is, as soon as I found out I had a problem with my rotator cuff, I looked for the shoulder workouts.
Oh yeah, I have two reconstructed shoulders from surgeries, my rotator cuffs and stuff. And one of the best things I can do for it is just building the muscle around there to protect it and start doing those workouts. Those were a game changer for me.
Yep.
But, those are the things that we're going to face. There's going to be times where some of us just get banged up. And unless it's a serious injury where it needs to be, repaired or torn or something, like, you realize that you have the ability to rehab yourself if you do it right or keep yourself limber or stronger through something for almost every part of the body in the program.
Yep. Like I said, when they have new workouts come out, I like trying them out just to see if I can do them. Because some of them are twos, threes, fours. There was one power cuff workout that Hayden did that was a five. I did that one. That was kind of interesting. Is like, but Hayden, he likes going for the gator positions.
Yeah, we know
Hayden. Hayden is a sadist. But no, I mean, I love that. And you know, you've been around here for a while now, and you came in and you were inspired by Arthur and Stacy and Jared, and now you're here, you know, 6 years later, and you know, people are looking to you for inspiration. You're on those groups and people are using you as an example for inspiration, and that's going to be a pretty cool moment. And that's what we do, pass along to the next generation.
I mean, I don't have no problem with if anybody has any questions or anything, you know, just message me. You know,
that's awesome.
I'm always on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I check stuff daily. I look at the different podcasts and stuff. So.
I love that, and you know, it's just one of those. We're all just regular guys who found this program and bettered our lives, and you know, we try to spread it to people. You know, in our area, or people that we know, because it is infectious. When you feel so good and you feel better, you want to sit there and tell people about it or show people. And you know, we're not all fitness. Well, I'm a fitness model, but the rest of y'all aren't fitness models. So, but no, it is.
Yeah.
It makes it real. It makes it real people.
Oh yeah. Now, next weekend, see, I live up in Pennsylvania, and I used to live in Philly, but now I live outside Philly. But next weekend is WrestleMania, and WrestleMania is going to be at the Link, which there's going to be all kinds of people here. There's going to be thousands and thousands of people here. It's like, oh, yay. So.
Oh, wow. Are you going to WrestleMania, or are you?
No, I don't mind going, but for what they're asking, I was like, hey, no way in hell I'm paying that much. I'll just watch it on TV.
Yeah, it's gotten so crazy expensive, and you know, it's fun being there, but I'll skip the crowd.
I told my wife I'd love to go there. I was like, but it's going to be insane. I was like, parking and. You know, people there, and it's like then you got to worry about this thing and that thing. It's like, nah, I'll watch it on TV.
I remember
my couch is the best place.
Yes, exactly. No, it is cozy. But I remember years ago. I'm from New England originally. I live in Raleigh now, but I went to I was going to the WrestleMania in Boston. I think it was 14. Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, I think, were wrestling for the title. And the day before then, they had this big, like, public workout with, you know, DX, and Mike Tyson was there in Copley Square doing this big exhibition. And the crowd there was so insane. And my dad had taken my buddy and I there, and it was the one that, you know, there was a riot, literal riot that started because someone threw a battery at Shawn Michaels, and then he left and just took off. So we're in this riot of people, and this is like 10,000 people in like just in Boston, and we're all insane in Boston. So just people are going crazy. Like, things were getting lit on fire. The cops were coming in. It was a big to do. And I'm like, you know what? I've had my full fill of WrestleMania. But no, that's it's a fun time if you can get there, but like you said, you can see all the angles, and then you can kick your feet back and go to sleep afterwards at home.
Yep, and this way you don't have to worry about traffic and the crowds, and it's like,
right.
No, but it does look interesting this year, though. I don't watch wrestling anymore. I haven't watched it consistently. I like usually the only thing I watch every year is WrestleMania. I usually just catch up because someone invites me to somewhere, but I gotta tell you, it's pulling me in a little bit this year. I'm a little bit interested.
Oh yeah, because I mean I grew up watching wrestling. It's like I watched wrestling with my great grandfather back in the early '60s when I was born. They used to watch it as like, I mean, I've seen all the greats. I saw Bruno and Adrian Adonis and all them guys.
Did you go to the Spectrum? Is that where you used to go?
Oh, yeah. The Spectrum, then the Civic Center. because the Civic Center had WCW before they both combined. Me and my friend went there. We saw Lex Luger against Ric Flair.
Oh wow! Hey, you're in Bruno country too, up there in Pennsylvania, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that must have been cool to see Bruno there back in the day. It'd be a fun experience. That guy was in shape till the day he died. I couldn't believe how in shape that guy was.
Well, look at, I saw they had a picture of Ivan Putski a couple weeks ago because it was his birthday. He looks great.
Oh wow! Yeah,
you can't tell.
No, wow,
you can't really tell too much. It's him because he doesn't have hair anymore. But it's like it was him. He's a big guy.
Yeah, he was always in great shape too. Like Putski, it's cool to see he's still at it. He's got to be what, 80 now?
I think that's what it was.
Wow, that's crazy.
Well, look at Ric Flair. Ric Flair's in his 70s.
Ric Flair's in his 70s and looks like he's 130.
Right. I think he's going to live forever.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep.
He found that magic potion.
Oh.
Well, David, it was so cool checking up with you, man, and I appreciate you coming back on and giving us an update. And I'm rooting for you, brother, and I'm glad to see you're bouncing back and taking control of it. And you know, you're resilient through all of the setbacks and the cancer and the depression and the employment and all that stuff. You're always bouncing back, so I'm really happy for you, and I'm impressed by your story.
Yep. So thanks for having me.
Thanks, David.
No problem, man. Anybody you want to shout out before we head on out?
Oh, yeah, let me shout out to the boys, Scott French, Rob Ramsey, Jake Order, Bruce Nelson, who else? And shout out to Pam Riley with the 55 and older community. So,
awesome, man.
I mean, there's a bunch of people.
And they're all going to let you know when you forget.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
They're like, you didn't mention me.
My theory is whenever you're everything, the only person you can't forget is your wife. So they'll let you know.
Oh, yeah.
True story.
Big time.
But, all right, man. Well, we appreciate you hopping on here. And I can't wait to see where you're going with this, man. You've had a hell of a run doing this and continue to kick ass. So, thanks for checking up with us, man.
All right, no problem. Anytime.
All right. And we always wrap things up here with a Crystal Stewart quote of the week, and then we'll head on out. Crystal, what you got for us?
So this week's quote, as soon as I find it, I hit a button and it poofed. It disappeared. This week's quote is by Jimmy Dean. I can't change the direction of the wind, but I can adjust my sails to always reach my destination.
I love it.
Interesting.
Jimmy Dean. Isn't
he a sausage guy?
Yep.
Well, there was an actor,
breakfast,
James Dean,
breakfast
and there was also the breakfast guy. So, it was the rebel without a cause and rebel with... All right, guys. You guys are making me hungry with this sausage sock, so I'm going to roll on out. We'll talk to you guys soon. Have a great week. Thank you, Crystal, for Crystal Stewart.
Thanks.
David Becker. My name is Mike Mullins, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks for hanging out. See ya.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Checked it today, man. That was a great workout, man.
The powerbomb set up by Paige.
Oh!
Into the diamond cutter.
I don't believe it. Diamond cutter out of the powerbomb.
Going home.
You've been listening to DDP Radio. Tune in again next week for another edition of DDP Radio with more great guests, inspiration, and news from Diamond Dallas Page and Team DDP Yoga. Keep up all the great work and, most importantly,
own your life.
This has been a presentation of DDP Yoga and Blog Talk Radio.